بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Someone is finding out today there is a competition that is running by some Islamic organization, and the winner of that is eligible to a new motor vehicle. So he wanted to know whether he must enter into this or not. I asked him, I told him that I won't advise you to enter into this. The reason is this, that the Mubarak month of Ramadan requires something else from you. If you want to pursue the competition, all your precious time is going to go now. Somehow I need to win the motor car. Right? So you'll answer those questions, study those questions, look for the answers properly, etc., etc. And in the whole process, what you're supposed to be gaining in this Mubarak month, you have lost. Right. On the side of those people that are running the competition, there'll be two problems. One is this, if they have got problems within them in the way they are running themselves, then if you accepting the competition, you accepting the gift, then you under some obligation to them. When you under some obligation, you become a silent supporter. Your mouth is sealed, you can't say anything. You got a car from them, so how are you going to speak out against them? Right. And number two is, they're supposed to be encouraging at this time, they're supposed to be encouraging zikr, tilawat, Quran Sharif, namaz. These are the things that are supposed to be done now. Now if someone leaves all this thing here, start listening to the radio and all that in this month here, then when is he going to recite the Quran Sharif, when is he going to make zikr, when is he going to perform extra additional nafil namaz, etc. When is he going to do it? Once a year as it is, khuda karke, this month comes. After one long year, this month comes. And then in that year now, instead of you engaging in the right things, you get engaged to these things. Is that showing the type of respect and appreciation that this month requires? Obviously not. So these great favors of Allah Ta'ala, they expect of us that we should appreciate them. One who appreciates them, he is thankful to them. Allah Ta'ala grants him a portion from the good. But the month comes and then we engage in something else, scant regard, don't show the type of regard. So, mehman nazuk mizajas. This is a mehman, this is a guest, he's got a very, very sensitive temperament. These gifts of Allah Ta'ala, they are very sensitive. So this little time that we have, we need to appreciate. We need to be thankful, we need to be grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for these precious moments that are passing by over us. And any moment can be that moment of acceptance. Any moment can be the moment of acceptance. They say, Yak saat azasha ghafil budan, for a second to be heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really it's a big loss. One is general, it's a general statement throughout your life, to be heedless for 1 second. Okay, at the moment that you are heedless, perhaps He wants to bless you, and you are heedless, you're not paying heed. Right? We are all like the beggars that are waiting at the residence of a generous person, right? Waiting for some of his handouts, some gift of his. And at any time, the person can open up. He can open up his treasures or take. And when he opens up his treasures, we need to be there. We need to be understanding that the treasures have been opened out in order to be eligible. If he opens out his treasures and we are paying heed on something else, then how are we going to acquire? So we need to be paying attention. All right. Any time Allah's gift will open up, anytime it will open up. So when it opens up, we are awake, we are paying heed, we are not heedless. So, like others will be blessed, we will also be blessed. Really, if you compare your life against the life of the hereafter, compare this earthly life against the life of the hereafter, it's very short. Extremely short. نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ إِذْ يَقُولُ أَمْثَلُهُمْ طَرِيقَةً إِلَّا لَبِثْتُمْ إِلَّا يَوْمًا. As you just move on to the hereafter, the kafir, he compares the life of the hereafter to this life. And he says, it seems as though we just lived one day in this life. In this world, we lived just one world, one day. Really, that day in the hereafter, the life in the hereafter is not even equivalent to one day. It is not even equivalent to one day. Now, is it worth it the while that we become inattentive, we get involved in other things, etc., and we are unmindful of the cause? Is it worth the while? Not worth the while. So these few moments that we've got, the few hours that are passing by, we need to understand that they are very precious, very, very great moments, very precious moments. You just turn in that direction, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, madad, etc. We don't know what may just be pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Something may be just pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Try. The one that tries, he is never at a loss. But try. Yes, the one that doesn't try, he definitely is at a loss. He comes under the divine displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. But the one that tries, even if it's a broken effort, but he's trying, Allah Pak likes it. In this hadith that has been read today, talking about Ism-e-Azam, you see, that name of Allah Ta'ala, when it's recited, then du'as are answered. people have various opinions about when is this moment. But two basic things are required for the acceptance of dua. You know, when reciting this dua, when reciting this Ism-e Azam, two basic things are required. One thing that is required is that is this, that at the time that you are taking the name of Allah Ta'ala, your mind is totally focused on Allah Ta'ala. You don't have trust, you don't have hope in anything after that. Imagine yourself, you are surrounded from all four sides by fire. You're in the center, right? Some building caught on fire and all four sides. Anywhere you're looking around, it's just fire and fire, nothing else. At that time, what will be the frame of mind? You don't have your phone, you don't have anything. You can't shout to anybody because nobody can come through you. If they need to come through you, they need to come through a shield of fire, they need to come through you. So how are they going to come and reach you? You can't call anybody and nobody can access you. Or put yourself into the picture where you are in a boat. إِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُ اللَّهِ. You're on a boat and water is covering you from all sides. مَوْجٌ كَزُّلَ لِدَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. As though they are like clouds, heavy clouds, all have just piled up on, against you. From the left, from the right, from front, from behind. Everything has just piled up against you. Right? Just, you can't shout for help. Nobody can hear. Nobody can listen to you. Right? You're in the middle of the sea. And this is the position that the water has. You are gripped up in that water. And from all sides you are caught up. So there's no way, nobody can ask, nobody can help you, nobody can save you. So at that time, what is the frame of mind? How do you ask Allah Ta'ala at that time? At that time, there's nothing for you. You don't think of anything at that time. The only thing that you think of Allah Ta'ala, it's only you, Allah Ta'ala, that can help me at this time. So one thing that is required in the acceptance of dua is this. Our minds at that time is nowhere. We don't have trust, we don't rely, we don't hope in anything. If we hope in anything, it is just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one prerequisite, precondition for the acceptance of dua. The mind is not in anything, not in yourself, not in any person, whatever, whatsoever. And number two, the second thing is, for the acceptance of dua, there are other conditions as well. Is the aspect of halal. What is the degree of halal? What is the degree of halal within you? One is, your focus is entirely on Allah Ta'ala, your trust and hope is entirely on Him. Like I explained, you are surrounded by fire. Right? And the second is the aspect of halal. So in proportion to how much of halal you have within you, you will find that your duas are getting accepted. One is halal, and one is the total focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else. Absolutely nothing. Right? Then whichever corner of the earth you are, and you call Allah ta'ala in that frame of mind, you see how Allah ta'ala's help comes rushing towards you. These are the basic things for getting your du'as answered. Basic things. Normally our hopes, our expectations are on things, right? So the degree of expectation, Allah Ta'ala, is not there. Right? You're asking Allah Ta'ala, but you've got in the back of the mind, well, this person is also there. And I can ask this person as well. So you're not asking Allah Ta'ala entirely with a clear mind. And Otherwise, it is that you've been nourished with haram. To some proportion is haram that's in you, clothing, nourishment, whatever, living. But it's haram. You're not concerned about halal and haram. And then you ask Allah Ta'ala, how do you want your du'as to be answered? So these two things are quite important for the acceptance of du'a. One is your mind, your heart, your focus must be entirely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, du'a is not just a repetition of few words. Sometimes we think it's just a repetition of few words. Say that and it becomes a formality, then you're not asking. See these du'as that are contained in the Quran Sharif. إِتْنَادَ رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. How these Anbiya are petitioning Allah Ta'ala. How is he asking Allah Ta'ala? Softly, secretly, إِتْنَادَ رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. And then they're expressing the inability to Allah Ta'ala. إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَزْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. My bones have become feeble, white hairs appeared upon my head. Right? So he's expressing all his weakness, inability, limitations, helplessness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then imploring and asking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you see? So the very gist of dua is that you express your weakness, inability, your helplessness, you express that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How unable you are, how weak you are, and how dependent you are on the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Inni wahana al-azm minni wa ishta'ala ar-ra'su shayba wa lam akun bi du'aika rabbi shaqiyya. The person that asks in that frame of mind, Allah likes that, Allah loves that, and you see then how that mercy of Allah is rushing towards him. So Zakariya alayhi salam is asking in this way, and he just asks and the dua is answered. Right. So the expression of your weakness, your inability, and your focus and your turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a precondition for the acceptance of dua. That is why the hadith says that the dua that is asked by a person on qalbin lahin, a person who is distracted, his mind is not in dua, it's somewhere else. His duas are not answered. But the person who is there is by Allah Ta'ala, his mind is there, his heart is there, his soul is there, then the chances for his dua to be answered is very, very great. Now, the same thing, now look at it. A person comes to a king, right? He comes to the king and he's petitioning some help. But he is not at all interested in asking in the manner it's supposed to be asking. He's looking all around and he's telling the king, can you help me? And he's looking this side, the king is on that end, and he says, can you help me? Now, does he expect the du'as of his to be answered? If he's going to be petitioning in this way, what impression it leaves in the mind of the king? This person is not really concerned. He is not really worried. So the heart must be focused in that direction. The heart must be at that direction. This fourth thing that is very important at the time of du'a is, sometimes it happens that we want the things to happen straight away. And it is not in your interest that things happen straight away. Then you begin to feel that your dua is not answered. You're asking for something and you expect that thing to happen straight away. Right? Whereas it is not expedient that this thing happens straight away. It will happen, but happen after some time. A small child, he is asking his father for a gun, right? Father says, you got it. But now he is 10 years of age. Father says, you have got it. So that means the father made some arrangement for the child to have a firearm. But he understands that if I give it to him now, then it is going to be destructive for him. So I won't give it to him now, I'll give it to him 20 years later. Now he's 10 years, 5 years of age. When he's 25, 30, he's fully mature, responsible, understands the consequence, etc. Then I'll give it to him. So similarly, sometimes the thing that we ask for at the time that we ask for may not be the most appropriate thing and appropriate time. Now we want wealth, for example. Right? We want wealth. And we don't have the level of maturity, we don't have the level of care, we don't have the level of responsibility. That same wealth can become a means of our destruction, ruin. Although outwardly that wealth seems to be a good thing, but we don't have the degree of endurance, degree of understanding, degree of maturity, and now we're taking on that wealth. What's going to happen? That wealth that was supposed to be a blessing, it turns into a punishment. So Radha says, I'll answer your dua. But you will see things happening after some time. You won't see it at the time that you expect it to see. You expect to see it now. It won't happen now. It'll happen later on. Again, look at the child. He's asking, a small child, 10 years of age, he's asking for 1,000,000 rands. Father says, no, I'll give you dua. You got it. But the father knows that he's going to give, I give him 1,000,000 rands. What he knows about money? He's going to buy sweets, lollipops, one cell phone. What else is he going to do? So now you've got it. I've deposited it into your account. And when you come of age, then you lose use of it. But now, I want it now. No, don't take it now. You're too small for it. So similarly, though we may be grown up, right? But we don't have the level of deen maturity. Physical, we are mature. But deen, we aren't mature. Deen-wise, we aren't mature. Allah Pak is not giving us. That's a blessing that He doesn't give it to us. Otherwise, the same wealth now we are using for our destruction, our ruin. So Allah Pak says, He'll give it to you. He's giving it to you. He gave it to you. But now it's going to come at this time. See? Otherwise, for Allah to give, what's the problem for Allah to give? He gives everybody. If every person is walking the face of the earth, if Allah Pak give everybody 1 gazillion pounds, right? 1 gazillion pounds, more than 1 trillion. No? Then to Allah is nothing. He doesn't decrease His treasures in any way. But He doesn't give وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُمٍ. He gives, but in measure He gives it. Because you don't know how to use it. You don't have the level of maturity. You're going to use it to your own peril, to your own destruction. So He gives it to you, but He gives it to you in measure. He gives it to you at a time. He gives it to you at the appropriate occasion. He doesn't give it to you just at once, straight. So these du'as not being answered immediately doesn't mean that Allah doesn't have it in Auzubillah. And it doesn't mean that Allah Pak doesn't want to give. He wants to give, He'll give it. But He'll give it at the right time. At the time that is suited for you. Not at the time you want it. At the time that is suitable for you. Sometimes you don't have the patience for it. You have got the wealth, right? But you don't have the patience to use it correctly. You don't have the endurance to use it correctly. Now, for using the wealth correctly, you need to have patience. You need to have endurance. You just use the money, you just bust it like that. One student came to one Buzurg and he says, teach me that name of Allah Ta'ala through which the du'as are answered. So the Buzurg told him, you don't have the patience for it. What he wants? He wants the name of Allah Ta'ala through which du'as are answered. And the Buzurg tells him that you don't have the patience for it. He says, no, I got the patience for it. So he didn't enter into an argument. What he did, he gave him a box. and told him, don't open the lid, don't open the lid, and go and give it to my friend. That friend is also a Buzurg, but is living in that town. Go and give it to him. But remember, don't ever open the lid of the box. Now he's taking it to himself. Now I'm going to get that name, you know. Only thing, I mustn't lift the lid, mustn't lift the cover of the box. Now 3/4 way through, say, but if I just open it up slightly, I will see what it is. That Buzurg won't know also that I opened the lid, you know. Then one mind is telling that don't lift it because the Buzurg told that don't lift it, don't open it. Other mind is saying, just lift up a little bit, you know. And that thing is tossing within his mind until curiosity had the better over him. And he raised the cover. He pulled the cover out. And there, when he pulled the cover out, one rat just jumped out and ran away. Straight. Now he's thinking, what to do? He's looking for it, can't find it. Anyway, he went to that other Buzurg, and he told him, there's a parcel for you, but this is what happened. So that Buzurg asked him, perhaps you asked him for some favor. Said, yeah, I asked him for a favor. The favor that I asked him for was, I want the name of Allah Ta'ala, through his du'as are answered. The Buzurg told him, see, you don't have the capacity for it. You proved it. He proved it to you that you don't have the capability for it. You don't have the patience. Because if you don't have the patience from lifting up this cover, you don't have the patience against lifting this cover, then how can you have the patience to use this name correctly? Now you've got the name of Allah Ta'ala through which it was answered. And that person, he used one swear word against you. He insulted you. So you say, Allah Ta'ala, break his face. Can you see how you'll misuse? Allah Ta'ala, break his face. See, he insulted me, break his face. And that person gave you a dirty look. Allah Pak bust his eyes for him. Right? And that person wants to punch you. Allah Pak fracture his hands for him. What will happen? You don't have the patience. How is the world going to run? Imagine if anybody and everybody had this type of Ism-i Azam, anybody has. So how this world is going to function? So it is a blessing of Allah Ta'ala that the dua doesn't get accepted it doesn't get accepted at the same time. Rather, Allah Ta'ala looks at your maskiyat, at your advantage. After some time, the dua is answered. So imagine, like I say, one person used one word, and he said, Allah Ta'ala, now, see, he used that insulting word against me, whereas I didn't do him anything. Allah Ta'ala bust his face for him. So what will happen? Can this world run after that? It can't run. Because then everybody will have it, and very few have the maturity. They don't have the understanding. They don't have the maturity, and they're going to use it. There's going to be an abuse then. So if the dua is made, then be patient for the dua to get answered. Don't expect the dua to get answered straight away. Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam had made dua against Fir'aun. And Allah Pak says in the Quran, قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا. Your dua has been answered already. قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا. Your dua has been answered. فَاسْتَقِيمَا. But for the dua to materialize, it took approximately 40 years. Allah Pak told him, your dua has been answered. But for that thing to surface, the dua to surface, it took 40 years. So should you become despondent now, I'm asking Allah Pak, I'm begging of him, but I can't see anything coming out. You don't become despondent. It will come when it's appropriate, Allah Pak will give it to you. So you don't become despondent. You go on doing your work, you see. Your work is to ask. Your work is to beg. Your work is to cry to Allah Ta'ala. You're carrying on crying, begging, asking Allah Ta'ala. And his work is to answer. His work is to make things work. So when it's going to be the right time, Allah Pak will make it work. Right. it's a small child, for example, and he says, "Daddy, allow me to drive the car." Small, 7-year-old. And he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand, and there he's got a car, automatic, just press one button, and he's traveling at 200 k's. He needs to take a turn. What's going to happen? Right. So he can't handle it. And the father is able to become overcome with the child's crying and give it to him straight away, then it is at his peril. So Allah Ta'ala is not like that. Allah Ta'ala is most wise. He understands. He knows. So He'll give you things, but after a time, when it's appropriate, when you have been matured, when you've got experience, then Allah Ta'ala will give it to you. Otherwise, if it's like that father who gives the child at the same time, then that same father is going to cry. Now he's given the child, and then after a few moments he's going to cry after that. How was that? Ashraf Bhai Kareem was here. So he says that his son asked for a motorbike. So he was reluctant to give it to him, but then the child insisted and he gave it to him. And the he drove the thing, he rode the bike, and he broke his leg. Can you see? See? Now the father will be in tears, obviously. He sees his son in hospital, broken his leg and all that. What happens to the father? So Allah Pak is not like that. Allah Pak understands, you can't handle a thing. When you can't handle a thing, He won't give you straight. He'll give you after some time. When you come up with that maturity, that understanding, then Allah gives it to you. We see that person crying and all that, we give it to him. That happened in front of me. One cousin of mine, young, 20, 21 or 22 years of age, and he just got married, and there he started riding a motorbike. And that thing only sounds nice when you're revving it full with that noise and the speed and you're flying, you know. Then it sounds nice. When you're going 20, 30 kilometers, it's not worth buying a bike. So you've got this rev, you've got that speed, and you're flying, you know, with that noise and all that. So then it's worth the while. And the poor chap involved in an accident. I think about 2 or 3 months he was in a coma, he recovered, but then poor chap, his health is not like it was, even though he recovered. But his health, he lost his health completely. So Allah Ta'ala gives, but He will give when it is suitable, when it is appropriate. In Springer Beach, 1981 or 82, two youngsters, they bought a motorcycle, and they started going around Springer Beach. And I knew both of them. And one Musalli, while they were going past the masjid, they went by. Just decrease the speed. And in the motorcycle, you don't get the thrill. That adrenaline only comes when you're doing that type of speed. So the Musalli told him, he's going past the masjid, but he just reduced the speed. No, I can't. And I can still remember, I think it's still in my mind, 81 it was, 81 or 82. And they drove, they went past Prospecting. And I think they knocked something and the thing went up. And it knocked against the fence and both of them died straight. Spot dead, both died. Now that was front of my eyes. I had to go and make the ghusl. I remember that. Straight they died. Both died straight. One was the father's only son. One child was the father's only son. The father had a big, big empire. Big, massive empire. Only son, and the child was demanding for this, father gave it to him, and they finish. Now the father will say, no, I said, only given it to him afterwards, you know, that this would have not happened, etc. So Allah Ta'ala is not like that. So if he doesn't give at that time, then it is in your interest that Allah Ta'ala didn't give it to you at that time. He gave it to you at a later time, it was in your interest. Not that Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to give, or he can't give, or na'uzubillah, his treasures are depleted. No, his treasures are all full. إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنَ. We got treasures, we got, you know, loads of it. You talk of anything, we got loads of it. إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنَ. We got loads and loads, treasures and treasures of it. So Allah Pak watches at your expediency. So your work is to ask, to beg Allah Ta'ala, to cry to Allah Ta'ala. Your work is not to rush. Don't rush for it. Don't rush. You be patient. And you think to yourself, my turn will come. Others' turn came, my turn will come. Let me just carry on asking. I'll ask. And what he expects me to do, I will do. In the dua, he wants me to do three things. One is I must be patient. Number two, I must be in halal, no haram. And number three, my focus must be on him, not on anything else. My focus must be on him. Number two, I must be in halal. And number three, I must be patient. Right. So I got these three things, Allah Pak will give it. Now, why must I be impatient? Allah Pak, I want it now and now and now. I want it today. Yeah? Don't become impatient. One person was making dua, Allah Pak, yeah, he's walking on foot. He doesn't have a conveyance. So he's making dua, Allah Pak, give me a conveyance. Give me a horse that I can ride home. And that horse is not coming and he's getting tired. So he became impatient. Allah Pak, you're not giving a horse. Give me a horse's baby. Give me a foal. You're not giving me a horse. So please give me a foal at least. See, in frustration, then you're going to ask the stupid things, wrong things. And that thing just coincided with acceptance. Dua just got answered. Now on policeman is going that side over his horse, and that thing just gave birth. It gave birth, so the policeman says, just carry this thing here and deliver it at my house. Carry this thing on your shoulders and you can. So he says, Allah Pak, manga to tha tale ku aur upar ku mil gaya, pale ku mil gaya. I asked for something that I could ride upon. And that thing has rode on to myself. I could have ridden on through that thing and moved. And that thing now is ridden itself onto myself. But that was the stupidity of his own dua. He got frustrated in the frustration. He said, Allah Pak, you're not giving me a horse, now give me the horse's foal. And he got it, and he had to carry the thing. So be patient. We are the beggars. Antum al-fuqara. Allah Pak says, you people are all beggars. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyu al-hamid. Allah Ta'ala is free of all want and worthy of all praise. So he'll give it, and he'll give it when it is right. So why are you becoming impatient? Why you want it to happen straight away? So these four conditions. One is, when you ask him, then focus on Allah Ta'ala entirely, from your heart, from your mind, in every respect. Number two, must be in halal. Right. Number three is this, that be patient. Don't become impatient. Number four, you have the yaqeen. You have the yaqeen Allah Pak is going to answer it. But it will come whenever he wishes. Number five, you do your work, let Allah Pak do his work. His work is to answer. When he knows it is appropriate for you, he will answer it. But you do your work. Your work is to keep on begging. Ask him, beg him, hope from him. You carry on doing your work. Now you don't say, now why are you not giving it to me now? You don't say Allah Pak that. You just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. You don't ask Allah Ta'ala, why aren't you giving it to me at this moment? See, Allah Pak is not answerable to anybody. So you just do your work and leave it to him afterwards. Right.